Just a few weeks ago, Notre Dame theologian Father Richard McBrien delivered himself of kind of a strong polemic, a diatribe against the practice of Eucharistic adoration, which, of course, is enjoying a kind of new vogue in the life of the church today. But McBrien rather bitterly laments this. He sees this as very much a theological and spiritual step backward. Now, why? Well, he thinks that it divorces the Eucharist from its proper context within the liturgy. Here's something I want to quote directly from the article. He says, "Now that Catholics are literate and well-educated, the Mass is in the language of the people, its rituals easy to understand and follow. There's little or no need for extraneous Eucharistic devotions." And here's again the conclusion. Eucharistic adoration is a doctrinal, theological, and spiritual step backward. Now, I would sum up his position this way, that those who engage in Eucharistic adoration are, poor things, just not that bright, just not that plugged in theologically. Well, I want to bring you back to the 1930s and 40s and 50s, when, whenever he was home in Paris, a slight, stooped, mustachioed man would make his way into the Montmartre neighborhood. His destination was the Church of Sacré-Cœur. When he arrived there, he would kneel down in a pew and spend the night in Eucharistic adoration. So practically every night he was home in Paris, that was his practice. This man's name was Jacques Maritain. He was one of the leading Catholic philosophers of the 20th century. Along with Etienne Gilson and Martin Grabman, he led the Neo-Thomist revival in the 20th century. His masterpiece, The Degrees of Knowledge, is a subtle, complex exploration of the act of human knowing. I know from my time studying in France that Maritain's prose style is deeply admired by the French. And this man, on a regular basis, engaged in Eucharistic adoration. Go back now to the 1920s in Germany. A young woman would come on an almost a daily basis to the Dominican church associated with the school where she was teaching. And she would sit for hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So impressed were the Dominican sisters that they often would stare at her in wonder. This woman's name was Edith Stein. Edith Stein was one of the great Catholic intellectuals of the 20th century. She was a disciple of the great Edmund Husserl, who was the founder of phenomenology. Most people say that along with Martin Heidegger, she was Husserl's greatest disciple. She wrote a series of very complex, subtle texts showing the relationship between phenomenology and Catholicism. Her last book that was unfinished just before she was martyred by the Nazis was a very complicated study of the mystical theology of St. John of the Cross. And this woman, this extraordinarily bright, intelligent woman, made Eucharistic adoration practically the center of her spiritual life. 1946, a young Polish philosophy student named Karol Wojtyła took his doctorate in philosophy. He then went on to become a professor of philosophy at the Catholic University of Lublin. He wrote a series of very sophisticated, complex texts on Christian ethics, culminating in his masterpiece called The Acting Person. We all know that this young student eventually became a cardinal, where he lectured around the world in phenomenology. And then in 1978, he became the Pope. Pope John Paul II, almost every morning of his life when he was in Rome, would spend a substantial period of time before the Blessed Sacrament, before he would celebrate the Mass. Now, this list of very smart, very plugged in, very theologically and philosophically astute people who love the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament could be multiplied endlessly. Think of Thomas Aquinas. Think of John Henry Newman. Think of Teilhard de Chardin. Think of Dorothy Day. Think of G.K. Chesterton. And on it goes. My point is that McBrien's point about Eucharistic adoration being the preserve exclusively of kind of rather dim, unlettered, unsophisticated people is simply untenable on empirical grounds. There's so many counterexamples that you could cite. But, you know, his central argument that somehow adoration is taking the Eucharist out of its proper liturgical context, even though it's been repeated endlessly in the post-conciliar period, I heard that argument all the years I was coming of age, is simply nonsense. And here's why. Karl Rahner, one of the great Catholic theologians of the 20th century, said, "The Eucharist is always a word event. The Council of Trent said that Jesus becomes really present vi verborum. It means in Latin, by the power of the words. The priest pronouncing the words of Jesus, this is my body, this is my blood, effect the Eucharistic change. Now here's Reiner's point. Even, he says, in the silence of the tabernacle, the Eucharist remains a word event because Christ is present there by the power of those consecratory words. Now here's the further implication. It means that the Eucharistic presence in the tabernacle harkens back to the liturgy because that was its proper origin, and it returns to the liturgy because it is there by the power of the words. The implication that somehow Christ's presence in the tabernacle and the adoration of it there is in tension with the liturgy or is a distraction from the liturgy is simply nonsense. In fact, the two are mutually implicative. I would say I applaud this revival of Eucharistic adoration precisely because I agree with Vatican II that the liturgy is the source and summit of the Christian life.